a situation where something has to be taken from you, I'm not asking you to leave because I want you to leave. But man, we're talking about the King of Glory. The Lord God strong and mighty. The Lord God mighty in battle. Just for a few moments, do it for your God. Everybody leave for
We declare you're sovereign, God. We do something this morning. How many of you realize that whether you're happy, sad, no matter what you want to do, no matter what you have plans, God is still worthy of all the glory. Today, I'm not asking you, I'm kind of telling you. When we sing this chorus again, I give you all the praise and glory. Whether you don't want to raise your hands or not, at least go half-mast. God is worthy to be praised. And I'd love to see every hand in this house raised to heaven, giving him glory and honor, for he deserves it. Amen. Come on, let's sing it with all that we have. Don't sing it to the person next to you. You're not singing to a human. You're singing to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's longing to hear from you. So let's just release the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And let's see God change our lives as we honor him in song. Lord, church means nothing without you. Lord, we're not interested in tradition. We want you. Lord, there are even people in the room that aren't sure in their own heart and mind. They haven't even justified if you're real or not. But today, God, you can change them by touching them right where they're at. I thank you for the tangible, releasable, powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit. And even now in Jesus' name, not a church's name, not a religion's name, not a pastor's name, but in the name that's above every name, Jesus, we release your fresh anointing in this room. Lord, transition us, change us, draw us, make us more like you, Jesus. We long to be in your presence in a greater way. Jesus, today we just submit our hearts to you. We submit our lives to you. We say, speak to us, Lord. We want to hear from you. We want you to change us from the inside out. We honor you. We honor your presence. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, there's the anointing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We receive, Lord, we receive. We receive, Lord. Hallelujah. We honor you, Father. You're a great God and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, I said, everybody said, amen. Before you sit down, make sure you say, please don't sit down. Go meet four or five folks that you don't know. Say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. I love being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Come on, don't be a snob today. Don't be a snob.
Soul winning on July 23rd. It's a Saturday. We're meeting at noon all the way up until 2 p.m. The Bible says to go and preach the gospel to all the world. And so we're giving you an opportunity to go spread the gospel in our community. So again, it's on Saturday, July 23rd, noon to 2 p.m. We're going to do a training class in the beginning, and then we're going to go out and we're going to hit the streets. So come on out. Let's bring Jesus to the streets and make an impact.
Hotel, the Father's arms are.
We tell you that the Father's love for you is unconditional. And we got love if this is you, this is true, firm.
What if we win for a thousand years? All alone, all alone, all alone, all alone. What if we woke up and tomorrow everyone was gone? Tell me.
And worship. The praiser thanking God for his shoes. The worshiper says, if I don't have no shoes, if I don't have no car, if I don't have any house, if I never get anything, I worship you for who you are. I worship you because you're God. You don't have to perform. You don't have to impress me. But just because you're God, you mean so much to me. I'll tear up my face and cry. Mess up my makeup and cry. I'll shake down my hair and cry. Oh, you're so valuable. Your presence is valuable. Your love is valuable. Your peace is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
praise the Lord. Great things are happening in the house. We just had the cleanup yesterday down in Elmira, and the gentleman in charge pulled me aside, and he said, I just want to thank you and the entire body of Christ at His Tabernacle Family Church. Listen, isn't it exciting? We were able to bless so many down at, which park was that? Eldridge Park. I always forget the name of them. But we were down at Eldridge, and we kayaked and picked up all the trash in, and then people painted or stained the benches and cleaned up the area. You see, it's one thing to be a church that talks a lot. It's another church to do. Can I hear an amen? And I want to challenge you, the next time we're out doing something community-based, that you would come. You know, many of you have children. The way to train your children is to show them. Amen? You're quiet this morning. I said amen. And so what you want to do is you want to participate. And the more you participate, the more they're going to understand the power of the ministry. We want to welcome all of our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being here. We know it's always a challenge to go to a church for the very first time, especially maybe you're from a liturgical style and now you're in this style. I mean, some people get kind of scared, you know. We want you to know you're going to be all right. Turn to someone and say, you're going to be all right. Want to challenge you to come at least three times. The first time is, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Second time is, well, that's not that bad. Third time is, wow, okay, I can get into this. Fourth time when you go to a quiet church, you go, oh my, wow, this is boring. So we want you to get involved, amen? We want you to enjoy yourself. This is the presence of Jesus. Get used to heaven. Heaven's not going to be a quiet place. I said heaven's not going to be a quiet place. Amen? Praise the Lord. So if you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle, we're not going to embarrass you, make you stand up or anything, but we want to give you a gift. We want you to know that we love you, we care about you, and we're going to give you a mug so that every morning you can look at us and say, I know people are praying for me. Today, if you're a first-time guest, if you could slide your hand up, we want to make sure you get, oh, dude, that's right, I shook your hand. You're not a first-time guest. You've been here forever. Hallelujah. Right here in the front row, folks. Very good. Oh, a young person over there. Hallelujah. Anywhere else? Over here. Very good. Thank you so much for coming. They're coming with a bag for you. Melissa, there, where are you? We have folks right over here in the front. Very good. Young person over there. Very good. Oh, we still find, there we go. Hi, ma'am. How are you? It's a great day, isn't it? Can we get another bag over on that side? Here we go. Very good. That's a lot of guests. Can we give all of our guests a hand clap and say thank you so much for being with us? That's awesome. Thank you. Remember, three times, amen, three times before you bail, three times if we scared the bejeebies out of you, you'll be all right, amen? You're going to be good. We just want you to know it's an exciting place, not a boring place. We also want to say we love Alma. Alma is visiting us from Florida today. Alma and Ma. We love Alma. You get around Alma, all you can do is laugh. That's it. You got to wear it. You got to bring diapers because I'm telling you, you're going to pee yourself. She is so much fun. We also want to welcome our online campus. Many people don't realize, but literally, we have people from all over the United States and the world that are watching right now by live stream. So we want to welcome all of our live stream family. If you'll give them a hand clap this morning. Amen. As many of you know, it's been a challenging week in our country, and it's so important that we make a statement as your pastors and as the pastors of the region, that we make a statement of where we should be as the body of Christ. I want to remind everybody that we fight not against flesh and blood. I said we fight not against flesh and blood. This is not about you against you or me against me. This is about, really, about the kingdom. And the enemy knows that division always destroys. And so the enemy's going to work so strong to destroy America. Many people don't realize how powerful America is. So I just want to give you a quick little update. America is the most giving group of people on the planet. We literally, the Americas, we fund missions all over the world. You know, many people don't realize how if the devil can take America out, bring such disunity that the churches stop giving, that what will happen is simple. And that is that the world is going to be void of the gospel in the capacity that it should be. I know you've all heard, and we've all heard of Jimmy Swaggart and his great fall that we all marked in the late 80s. Maybe you don't know because you weren't alive then, sadly. But a lot of people look at Jimmy Swagger and they say, well, that's a shame that he fell. But what I want to show you is this, is that the enemy didn't care about Jimmy Swagger. But what the enemy did care about is what Jimmy Swagger was being used for. Many don't realize that he gave $45 million a year to missions. And when his fall came, the millions stopped. And so they said that literally the fall that he had put missions back almost 20 years in especially Central America and South America. So I want to challenge you. Never allow this world system and what's happening in this world to distract you from your main purpose. And that is, we are people of love, we are people of God, and we are people of unity. Can I hear an amen? And this house has over 20 nations in it. We are people of diversity. And diversity is strength, not weakness. So I'm going to have Pastor Rhonda. She's going to make the statement from the pulpit.
Amen. Offense stops the power of God. But in Isaiah 55:11, it says, behold how beautiful it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. It is where the Lord commands his blessing. So this week, it requires a response, what has happened in our nation. Let me start with the word of God. Romans 12:21. It says, do not be overcome by evil. We've seen a lot, we've heard a lot of people responding by being overcome by the evil that has happened in the world this week. So Romans 12:21 tells us, do not be overcome by evil. And it tells us what to do, but overcome evil with good. We must not allow these horrific acts to divide us or cause us to take sides. We are one people. There is no one lesser and no one greater. We are all created equal. We must not respond further with hate. We must not respond with fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So in response to the news through our nation this past week, we encourage every community, every church, every family, and every person to respond with love, respect, honor, and being part of a community. Let's give back more than ever before. Let's love more than ever before. Let's honor and respect everyone more than ever before. We are the church. We are a sample of community. We are America. And we are not divided. You see today, as we sit in this place, a community of people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue, and we will not be divided. Great men and women have sacrificed, some even to the place of losing their lives, so that we could have unity in our country. So let's continue in unity and not allow their tremendous sacrifice to be made of no effect. Spread unity, spread peace, spread God's unconditional love today in response to the evil that has hurt our nation. You see, it does not matter what our government does or does not do if we, the people, stand up to action. Not hate, not division, not fear, but actions of peace, love, giving respect and honor to all people. If we will humble ourselves and pray, God will heal our land.
Amen. I don't do this often, but I want to brag on one of the young people of the church. I want to brag on Isaiah Smallwood. Can you stand up? Isaiah, as you know, he works with the worship team and everything like that. But what I love is his response. As an behave yourself. As an African-American young man, and listen, this is just the facts. People don't like to admit that there's still prejudice. There's still prejudice. We know that. There's prejudice and there's ignorance. But you know, in the response to what's happened in our nation, I was so proud of Isaiah. He went out and he bought Gatorades and water, and he drove around looking for police officers in Elmira, correct? And he gave them drinks. And you know what that was? Him showing honor. And I want you to know that love covers a multitude of sins. And if you'll love people, we can overcome the evil. Amen? And there's no greater people to do that than the body of Christ. That's who we're called to be. So I want to challenge you this week to be one that will overcome evil with love and the covering of God. And you'll find that we can bring healing to our nation. Amen? Our nation, we're starting right here. This is our region. It's not the devil's region. This is our region. We're taking it back with the love of God. Amen? Amen. Pastor.
As we enter into this time of tithes and offerings, I want to share with you in Isaiah 55:11. It says that God's word does not return void, but it accomplishes what it is sent to do. So I declare today that no natural circumstance can hinder the word of God. No natural circumstance in your life can hinder the word of God from accomplishing what it was sent to do. I shouldn't live the same way as someone who doesn't have a provider. I have the provider. I want to share our verse for the year in Psalms 1:3. It says, they are like trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. And again, I will repeat, no natural circumstance can stop the word of God in your life and in your finances. And when we choose to walk in obedience to God's word and in supernatural finance, the word of God always accomplishes what it was sent to do and will prosper in all things. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration, declaring that no natural thing is stronger than the power of God. It says in Deuteronomy 28, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. As you come, please grab a communion cup. We will be taking communion today during the service, so please, everybody, come forward and grab a communion cup.
I'm chasing after you, no matter what.
Praise the Lord. Who did not get a communion cup? We have folks that are running them out to you real quickly. We have folks all over the place. Can you go right out there real quick, go grab communion cups and bring them out? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to thank you. We're excited. I love communion. How many of you love communion? Praise the Lord. We're going to preach the word real quickly. We're going to take communion at the end of the message. Well, very rarely do we do that, but I just really felt of the Lord to do that today. This message that we're going to minister today is a tough, a challenge. Everybody shout challenge. Not just for you, but for me. You know, one thing I've realized is that God always deals with me first, which is uncomfortable. Everybody say that could be uncomfortable. Amen. It's always uncomfortable when God starts to deal with you. But when you're the one that's going to be able to give the gospel, you've got to be able to live the gospel. How many of you know that nobody's perfect? I said nobody's perfect except for yourself. No. Turn to someone and say, I think you're close. I think you're close. You're prophesying to them. Hallelujah. But this morning I want to minister because this is the year of. This is the year of. Everything you need is in the seed. Our verse for the year is Psalms 1, verse 3, and it says this. You shall be like a tree. Shout, I'm a tree. Well, how many of you know you had to be a seed before you were a tree? So turn to someone and say, I'm a seed that grew into a tree. Amen. Now you look pretty good as a tree, don't you? Amen. I should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's the Holy Ghost. That brings forth its fruit in due season, whose leaf shall not wither. That means when hard times come, you're not going to dry up and die, but you're going to keep flourishing when everything else around you seems to be diminishing. And whatever he does shall prosper. Shall I believe in prosperity? Prosper me, Jesus. The Bible makes a declaration in 3 John verse 2 that you should prosper in all things and be in good health even as your soul prospers. God wants you to prosper in your spirit, your soul, and your body. He doesn't want one factor to be diminished. He wants you to prosper in every area of your life. The difficulty is that the church world has prophesied different than God's word. And it's time to get back to the scripture. Can I hear an amen? Being the year of kingdom seed, we've talked about so many different types of seed, how our time is seed. We've talked about how our thoughts are seed. We've talked about how the ground that the seed is sown in. We've talked that the word of God is seed. And this week, we've started last about how our words are seed. It's so important. We talked about the principle of firsts. That is the very first time that God says something or something happens in the scripture. It is a principle that can be established. And I want to show you, we went through a basically of them last week, but I want to finish today with how to be successful in our speech. Turn to someone and say, you got to talk right. The Bible makes a declaration in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. You know, this is a powerful statement because the Bible says that God set witnesses against us. What does that mean? Does that mean he's against us? No. That means he said, listen, everything you need to understand, I'm putting right here. I call heaven and earth. I'm placing it in the word of God so that when we stand before judgment, there'll not be one excuse that will be available. Every one of us can open the scriptures and see what God's word says to us about the principles of how to have life and death. You see, this is what God's passion is. He said that I have set, everybody shout set, shout set, that I have set before you life and death. You see, each one of us have the opportunity to accept or reject. What is placed in front of us is the opportunity to live life or death, blessing or cursing. You know, I've seen so many believers, they walk in cursing. They walk in death. They don't have the excitement of God. They always are whining and crying, and they're always saying that, God, where are you? I don't understand. But yet it comes down to understanding what we lay hold of. The Bible says that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. You know, so many individuals say, well, Pastor, my sins are too hard. They're too strong. I want you to know that that is not true. That is a lie. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that we are no longer slaves to sin. Because we're no longer slaves to sin, that means that the Word of God says that if we sin, we choose to sin. You see, we have a choice that is set before us. that we have to choose life or death. We can't blame our mom. We can't blame our dad. We can't blame our circumstances. We can't blame our husband. We can't blame our children. We can't blame our government. We can't blame the church. We can't blame our religion. We can't blame the pastor. We can't blame our shoes. I don't know why you'd blame shoes, but her feet hurt. Here we are, so many people blame so many different things. But the Bible says, I've set before you, and we all have the responsibility to choose what we want to live and how we want to live. That is our choice, not God's choice. He said, I've given you the ability to have divine nature so that everything you need to prosper, everything you need to succeed, I've placed before you. And I have heaven and earth as a testament. Everything we need is in the seed of the Word of God. Everything we need is in the seed of the Word of God. Everything we need is in the seed of the Word of God. I said, everything we need is in the seed of the Word of God. Still weak. I said, everything, listen, I got all day. Everything we need is within the seed of the Word of God. That's better. We're almost there. Everything we need is in the seed of the Word of God. Amen. Glory. That sounded like a church that believed the Bible's true. You see, the Bible is yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it's all complete. It is truly, truthfully, the Word of God. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and life. You see, we are individuals that are not holding in our hands just some religious book that people seem to peruse over and say, that's nice writing or that's good poetry. But we are literally handed and given to us by God the actual words from heaven, the constitution of the kingdom of God, that as we live in the Constitution, we will have true success. For if God be for you, who can be against you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I've got all things that I need to live in godliness and on this earth with success in my life. I shall be like the tree that's planted by the water, whose root, and I shall always prosper. You see, that's the Word of God. So the issue is not that the Word of God isn't true. The issue comes down to what we talked about 3 weeks ago. Do you actually believe the Bible is true? If everything we need is in the seed, and the seed is the Word of God, the issue is not that the seed is not valid. The issue is, if you don't believe it, you'll never plant it. If you don't plant it, you can't have a harvest. For where there are no seeds, there cannot be a harvest. So as believers, shout, I'm a believer. As a believer, what we choose to lay hold of determines our success. You know, I've seen people that have gone from literally gone from living in extreme poverty to becoming millionaires. How is that even feasible? Because they chose not to be dictated to by their circumstances. You know, the bishop, one of the things that I love about Bishop Thomas is that he's taken, I believe, 16 or 17 people that were on welfare or that had lost everything through bankruptcy when the collapse happened in finances, and every one of them, 17 of them now are millionaires. One guy lost everything, lost his house, lost his car, lost everything. And he said, Bishop, I'm applying these principles, and you know, the Word of God is true, it will come truth. And you know what that man, he bought a business for menial amounts of money, sold it for like, I think it was, I know I'm not getting all the numbers right, but I think it was like $2 million. He sold a business for $2 million in just a few months. Took the $2 million, bought another company, sold it for $45 million. Took that, within 7 or 8 years, the man went from extreme loss to extreme blessing. How is that? Because the principles and the seed of God's word always work. So the issue is not whether or not we have truth. The issue is what we do with the truth. The issue is how we plant the truth. The issue is the ground that it is planted in. And the issue is, do we and are we going to get a harvest? And dear Lord, I don't know about you. I want to make sure that my seeds are going to produce the harvest that I want to see. Can I hear an amen? See, we talked about the principle of firsts, and the first things we talked about was the first things that God said. This is the principle. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, I believe 10 or 11 times within the very first chapter. That's how it started out. God said. And every time God said, there was creation. Every time God said, there was supernatural manifestation. Every time God said, there was blessing, not cursing. Every time God spoke, something happened in the eternal realm that made manifest in the natural realm. Every single time God declared, there was always something that blessed mankind. The very first of Adam was that he blessed his wife. She is the flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. The next verse we see of talking was Satan. Now, some of you are saying, I'm going fast. This was last week's message. You need to jump in last week's archives on the website, histabernacle.com. Go to watch online. I don't know what they call it anymore. Go find the archives. The next first of speaking was Satan, the serpent. What we saw last week was the very first thing that Satan said that was in the scripture was he questioned what God said. The very first attack that the enemy is always going to do in your life is that he's always going to bring you to a place of questioning whether God's word, the seed of the word, is actually truth or just a fabrication. Did God say? The seeding of doubt and unbelief is the very first words we see come out of the serpent's mouth who is motivated by the demonic. As a believer, we cannot be ignorant of the devil's devices. You see, the enemy knows that if he can get you to doubt God's word, that you will be one that will never stand and proclaim it. If you don't stand and proclaim the word, we know according to Matthew chapter 13, the word is seed. And if the seed of the word is truth, then when we plant it in right ground, we'll get a harvest of 30, 60, 100 fold. So if the enemy can get you to doubt God's word, then the seed has no place in the ground. The enemy will come and steal it. It's time to recognize that we're not talking about the Bible, as some people just have it mounted in their room next to their bed with dust 3 inches deep on top of it, but this is literally the word of heaven. We have got to say, God, I've got to consume it. I want to be like Jeremiah. I want to eat the pages of it. I want God's word to be alive in my spirit. Why? Because it's seed, and the life is in the seed, and the harvest that I'm after is in the seed. So what seed are we planting? The very first of Eve's talking that is mentioned in the scripture is she's agreeing with the devil. She actually created a conversation with Satan. Now, this is horrific because can you imagine? The very first words of God are blessing and creation. First words of Adam are blessing over his wife. The first words of the demonic is that, is God's word really true? And you see, doubt and unbelief are what always destroy what you are to receive from heaven. And the first words of Eve is she's actually in a communication, a dialogue with the demonic. Now, the Bible says that Eve was deceived. And what happened was she started to believe what the devil started to speak more than the words of heaven. And this is where we stand, so many of us. You see, I used to call myself, I can't do that. I got to be good. This morning I was in the shower. And remember, he's dealing with me. And I've always called myself a realist. And he said, you can no longer call yourself a realist. You behave yourself over there. You can no longer call yourself a realist. You see, when a situation would happen, I would look in, I would try to deal with the realistic situation that I'm staring at. And God said, you are either a realist, but every time you're a realist, you disconnect yourself from the supernatural because you aren't declaring the word of God, you're declaring the circumstance over the word of God. He said, so I no longer want you to call yourself a realist. You are a Bible person. You declare the word of God. The word of God is higher than realism. You see, God has not called us to doubt facts, but he's called us to declare truth. For it's the truth that will make you free, not the facts. All of this comes down to the level of firsts, where Adam and Eve, they both chose to do which was not choosing life. You see, the spoken words of God the Father are seeds to life. The words that Adam spoke were seeds to harvest and life. The words that Lucifer spoke, they were seeds to death. And the words and dialogue that Eve had were the seeds of death. You know, the challenge is, you heard the word challenge, is that we live in a real world. How many of you have never had a problem in your life? All right, how many of you had one? Two? The rest of you all just lied and you're going to hell. We're going to have an altar call right now. We've all had trials and tribulations. We've all had trouble. Whether it be in your family, whether it be in your finances, whether it be just in your own head. We've all struggled, and many people are just like Eve. The enemy will come into their life and start talking doubt. You see, God said, I can overcome all things, for I'm more than an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. So we're standing in the middle of our problem, and the enemy comes into our life and says, well, you know, I think you need a plan B. Because God really probably won't show up. Well, you know, I know you're a person of faith, and I know you're a person that has, you know, good desire, but it probably is not going to work in your life, so you better figure something else out just in case God don't show up. That's the same dialogue that Eve had. God said it. He said, don't touch that tree. Don't touch that tree because it's mine. And Eve had a dialogue with the demonic, and the diabolical said, the question was very first, and that is what God's saying true? And what it did is it disenfranchised and disemboweled the word of God to her life. It's not that God isn't able. It's not that God isn't willing. It's not that God isn't supernatural. It's not that God does not want to do what he did in the book of Genesis chapter 1, that every time God said, the supernatural manifested itself. But the difficulty is that when we disembowel the word of God by doubt and unbelief, we disengage God from the opportunity to truly being supernatural. And we do it with our words. Well, Pastor, if the seeds of words produce a harvest of life or death, and you know we all live in this real world, then how can it be done? There's no greater example than Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Well, you know, a lot of believers believe that Jesus did all the miracles and lived a sinless life because he was the Son of God. I want you to realize that that's not true at all. The book of Philippians chapter 2 says that Jesus gave up all of his heavenly glory to come down here and to live as a man. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 makes this declaration in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus chose life and not death. Jesus chose to not sin and to live a righteous life so that you and I can live blessing. Now remember, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, a part of the verse that I did not touch was that whatever choice you and I make goes to the generations. My great-grandma, Grandma Stewart, died at 100 years old. She loved Jesus. She worshiped Jesus. In fact, she was hit by a car in her early 90s, broke her hip. The doctor said, you'll never walk again. She said, I will not only not walk again, but I'll dance before the Lord before I die. And at 96 years old, she danced before Jesus in that old Church of God church in Winchendon, Massachusetts, and she shouted unto God with a voice of triumph. That's my great-grandmother, my grandmother who just died at 93 years old, loved the Lord. Man, when she didn't have a pot to pee in, she continued to tithe and give, and God blessed her in every area of her life. At 93 years old, she passed the gospel down to my mother. My mother passed the gospel down to me and to my siblings. And now I passed it to my three children. And now my three children are starting to pass it on, where Cody and Mindy have a child. And now my little granddaughter, Sophia, is able to worship the Lord. And listen now, I believe she baptized in the Holy Ghost. She walks around praying better than some adults. Can I hear? That's five generations. I want you to realize not one of us is an island to themselves. How you worship God, how you live for Christ, how you talk, the seeds of your words that bring forth harvest, your life and death that you choose will go far beyond just you. It's going to hit generations to come, and it's time to be people that, like Christ, will make a decision to live life and not death. See, Jesus, our greatest example, taught us how to do this. Now, I want to remind you how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, Acts chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus did that where he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to remind you that Christ lived a normal life. A lot of Christians believe that he hovered, hovered above the water. But the truth is that Jesus was a contractor. His daddy was a construction worker. Now, if you've worked in the trades at all, how many of you have worked in the trades before? You hear very flowery words in the trades. I mean, they're filled with much verbiage. I've listened to some and I've been overwhelmed in how they could structure the F-bomb so many times in one sentence. And it almost makes sense. Jesus was a carpenter. He worked in the trades. It was a unique position. They didn't have Makita. They didn't have power saws. I mean, he had to work. Remember, somebody who doesn't work shouldn't eat. And so here we are, Jesus being a normal guy, he had the choice growing all up. He had the choice to serve God or not to serve God. He had the choice. Oh, but Jesus didn't have a choice. That's a lie. Because if Jesus didn't have a choice, then he could not be a true high priest who could understand our situations. But he understands everything we're going through. Why? Because he did experience the temptation. He did experience the weakness. He did experience the things that we do. But he had a clue. And this is what it was. John chapter 12, 49 through 50. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. I think sometimes we need to learn to be quiet. Sometimes we just got to shut up. See, Jesus learned this thing. He learned how to choose correctly. He learned how to choose and have people in his life. He learned how to talk. And he said, the only things that I'm going to say are what God tells me to say. Oh, but Pastor, the real world, right? Yeah, he was in the real world. He made a choice to live real world in the real word. He chose to make decisions in how he would talk. And I want to remind you how our Father talks. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be. God's creative power. God's demonstrative power. God's loving power. God's manifested power. God's blessing power. God is a blesser and not a curser. The very nature of God himself is to give life and not death. This is where we as believers have to wrap ourselves around the Christ, the Messiah. His name is Jesus, who walked in this real world and chose to only speak the words that would bring life to people and not death. Sometimes those words were harsh. Sometimes those words were strong. But he spoke them because the Father told him to. You see, how would our lives be if we actually planted seeds that the Father told us to plant rather than just shooting off at the mouth? You ever been around somebody who just shoots off at the mouth all the time? Well, you know, it's just the way I am. Got to tell it the way it is. You're dumb as a stone. If you're that kind of person, the Bible talks very clearly that you make a fool out of yourself. By the way, why do you think your opinion is so important? Well, I'm just telling my opinion. Who cares? You see, when your opinion cares more than the Word of God, you're out of alignment. Well, Pastor, you know, just the way I am. Who told you that lie? I've been made in the image of Christ. God is changing me from the inside. I'm no longer the same. I'm a new creation in Christ. I don't have to live the way I used to live. I've been blood bought, blood washed by Jesus Christ. I'm a new creation in Him. I can live according to the Word of God. Don't dictate to me what I'm supposed to be. I'll tell you what God has called me to be. You see, and Jesus learned this. He learned to only speak the Word of God. Can you imagine what our life would be if we only spoke the Word of God? It would. It'd be blessed, blessed, blessed. Because it's seed, seed, seed to harvest, harvest, harvest. And whether you believe in God or not, it really doesn't matter. You're seeding every day. And you're either seeding life or death with your words. I want to remind you that as a believer, we're not going to be judged for our sins, but we are going to be judged for our words. Because words are life and death. Proverbs makes that declaration. Life and death are in the power of our tongue. We either give life to situations or death to situations. We give life to people or death to people. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, because maybe there were people that you were growing up with that told you were a loser, that told you that you were going to be worthless, that told you you had no value in life, that told you you were always going to be a failure. You see, people have spoken death to you, and it's time for you to stand up and say, I refuse to believe what a man has spoken to me. I will only allow the seed of the Word of God to be my life, and when I do, I know the harvest that's coming is going to be 30, 60, 100, and I will prosper and not die. Some of you have lived this life, man. You actually believe them. Well, you know, you have this. Well, you know, you have this. Thank God for doctors. They're doing the best they can. We have doctors that come to this house. We honor and respect them. Anything that thwarts sickness is good. But the fact is that they're still practicing. Jesus is the great physician. And the Word of God, He said, I even sent my word to heal you. We've got to get back to believing that the Bible is more than just that religious writ, that we have a Bible that is truly God's word and that it is truth. Yay and amen. And when we believe the Word of God, it changes us. Why? Because we don't speak our words, we speak His words. And when there's life in His words, it brings a harvest of blessing and not cursing. So we have a choice. Life or death. We can't blame anybody else. We can't blame anybody else. It's our choice. I'm almost done. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Staff is trying to break me of that. Here's, ready? You ever have somebody in your life, they sympathize with you? Well, you know, I just feel so sorry for you. You know, when my grandmother died, people are sending me sympathy things. And I said, well, I don't know. I'm not sad she died. I'm not sad she died. She's 93 years old. It's time for her to go home. See her mama, see her aunties, see her ex-husband who got saved on his deathbed. They'll like each other there. When we allow people to seed into our lives, words. And words are going to bring a harvest. Stop allowing people just to whisper in your ear. Some people, you got to look at them and say, listen, you need to be quiet. I refuse to allow your words in my life. Well, I don't want to offend them. Then you're foolish. It's okay to offend people. Well, I thought we're supposed to love everybody. Telling them you don't want that in your life is loving them. Hopefully it wakes them up, and if it doesn't, then they need to be shaken. I don't allow people to speak into my life any way they desire. People don't have a right to speak doubt and unbelief to me. I can do that myself. I need people around me that when they talk to me, it stirs my faith. It encourages my faith. And even in the world, when people are speaking death and unbelief, man, somebody, I am not owned by Fox News. I am not owned, come on now, by CNN. I'm not owned, come on now, by the Wall Street Journal. Because I am not of this world. Jesus is coming. And it's time to be back in the Word of God and allow the seed to start taking root. Here it is. Ready? I hear it all the time. They speak seed over their life. I can't do this anymore, Pastor. I just can't do this. And you will fail. I hate my life. And you'll hate it even more after you just said it. Oh, this is going to kill me. It probably will. I'm so depressed, and it's going to get worse. I can never get ahead, and you never will. I can't get past this sin and this temptation. It's just so strong. Yeah. You've just fed it because you've seeded into its life. Oh, Pastor, I have cancer. Last I knew, Jesus said, by his stripes you were healed. Well, you know, the doctor, I love the doctor. They're doing their best, but they're not God. They're not the Word. By his stripes I was healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus Christ. It's so powerful to recognize the Word is above your circumstance. I'll be on medication the rest of my life, and God bless you. My marriage is horrible, and it's going to get worse. I give and I give and I give, and nothing ever good happens in my life, and it never will. I can't forgive them, Pastor. I just can't forgive them. And they'll damn you to hell. For if you can't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Seeds that we plant with our words determine our harvest. What are you talking? What are you speaking? What are you saying over your business? What are you saying over your wife? What are you saying over your children? What are you saying over your walk with God? What are you saying? What are you declaring? What are you planting? For do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If a man sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. It's time to recognize that no matter what you sow, you will reap, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. This is the reality of the seed time and harvest shall never pass away. We've got to get back to recognizing that the Word is the seed that will always bring life, and the words that we speak will probably bring death. Some of you don't like your life and you wonder how you got there. You put yourself there, man. Everyone can speak nice words when everything's going right. How are you? I'm beautiful. How's your life? Everything is beautiful in its own way. Everyone talks really good when everything's great. But what do you talk when hell is licking your toes? What do you talk when it gets tough in your finances? What do you talk when God says, do this, and you choose not to? What are you talking? Because whatever you talk, you're going to reap. Well, I don't like that music. And you'll hate it forever. I hope God plays it in heaven just for you. Honestly, you know, I can only speak for myself. A lot of times, I speak such death in my own life. You know, my wife and I haven't always gotten along. That's not a new story. I've told the story many times. And, you know, there are times that it's still, you know, we have power struggles. She's a very strong woman. She's not a weak woman. She's a very strong woman. And she really doesn't need me. That is true. Listen, ladies, when you need a man, don't get one. Man should be the cherry on top, not the ice cream sundae. And so there are times that we have strong discussions. Heated love and not the making of. When it gets to be a challenge in the discourse. And in my prayer time, you know, there are times I've gone up to the prayer room and I said, "Dear Jesus, what did I do?" I know she's prayed the same. But then he said, "How are you praying? How are you?" Because when you pray, you say with your. You're speaking words. Harvest is coming. And so I look at my wife now and, you know, we have a great relationship. Amen. I've been preaching to her since she was conceived. Amen! She's not even crying. But I thank God for my spouse every morning. Lord, thank you for Rhonda. Thank you that she's strong. Thank you, Lord, that she can stand on her own. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that she carries. And Father, I thank you for the word that she preaches. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I remember when we first got married and it was really tough. We'd start arguing. She'd go, "I thank God that you are the most kind, loving husband that a woman could ever have. I thank God that you're a husband that cares for my needs and emotionally you strengthen me and you never speak bad things to me." Well, those were not the facts. But those were the words that she was prophesying. And I think I'm a... Is that all right? I said... What are you speaking? Some of you got to bite your tongue. Some of you, you need to chew a lot of gum so you can't talk. I'll say it again. Some of you should never be on Facebook. Dear Lord. Some of you talk way too much. You share your opinion way too much. You speak death way too much. Arrest yourself. Arrest your mouth. You can let a bird fly around your head, but don't let him nest in your hair. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. As a man is, so he speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Be quiet. Choose to design your words to produce the harvest that you want to see manifested in your life. You can, oh baby, that right there was quotable. You must choose life with your mouth. And if you don't, why are you shocked when you get a harvest of bad fruit in your life? It's choice. Turn to someone and say, "I'm smart." Tell somebody else, "I'm brilliant." Tell somebody else, "I thank God that I'm as smart as I am. I thank God I've got the authority to live this life and to speak the right things." James says, oh, I want you to say this out loud. James 1, verse 19. "So then, beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." You want great things in your life? When hell starts licking your toes, speak life to it and not death. speak the word over it and not allow the circumstance to control you. Y'all have a communion cup. This morning, I believe we need to repent. Do y'all know what repentance is? Repentance is an I'm sorry. I'm sorry is I'm sorry. I'm sorry I got caught. Really what it is. Repentance is different. Because repentance says, I'm walking this way, but I realize my wrong. I'm stopping, turning around, and going the opposite direction. Sorry, God doesn't recognize. You need to hear me. God does not recognize sorry. God recognizes repentance. I need to say that again because I think this is so imperative. When we are in sin and he convicts us and we say we're sorry but we don't want to change, you're sorry, you are still breached in heaven. If Christ comes, you're not going. That's what the word says. Sorry don't cut it. Repentance cuts it. What's repentance? I make a choice. I refuse to live the same life I have. I choose by the power and the grace of God to live the way he's called me to. It doesn't mean you'll be perfect. But he knows your heart, whether you're, oops, I'm sorry. Or you're really making a change. Today, I think we need to make a change in our words. Amen. Many of us need to repent and ask God to forgive us, wash away the words of the past. I believe God can give you a brand new harvest. No matter what you planted in the past, God can start a new thing today. Amen. I said amen. So let's grab your communion cups. Jesus, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here, Pastor Obi, can you open that for me? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talked about communion. This is what he set forth. And you see two things. You see the spirit and you see the flesh. And what he said was, this is my body which is broken for you, do in remembrance of me. He was talking about healing. Today, if you need physical healing in your body, this church believes the word of God. We believe it's always God's will to heal, not sometimes. Well, Pastor, I believe that God puts sickness on our life to teach us some spiritual good. Find it in the scripture. You can't find it. That's bad doctrine. The word of God is clear. By his stripes you were healed 2,000 years ago on the cross of Jesus. That's his promise. Today, if you have sickness in your body, I want you to put your hand where that sickness is. And I'm going to pray. Put your hand on it, where it is. Father, in the name of Jesus, those who had the faith to put their hand, I just release right now, God, not my word, but your word. You said you sent your word to heal. I declare that the word that was released during the preaching starts healing the body right now. I command the body to be restored. I command the sickness and disease. I call you out and command you to get out in Jesus' name. Father, we give you glory for your son who paid the price for our healing. And we receive it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. Jesus then grabbed the cup. He said, this represents my blood that was shed for you for forgiveness of sins. This is a new covenant. And this is where I want us to pray together. I think we need to ask God to forgive us for our words, how we talk. And we need to have a repentant heart and say, Lord, I give you the freedom to convict me every time I speak death. Please, Jesus, beat the snot out of me every time I speak death. Because I don't want the harvest of death. I want the harvest of life. So I'm willing for you to convict me. I ask you to convict me. I ask you to change me. So pray with me. Dear Jesus, we confess this morning our words. We ask that you forgive us every time we've spoken death. Lord, we're asking forgiveness for sin. And you said when we do that, you throw it as far as the east to the west and don't remember it anymore. We ask in the name of Jesus that all the seeds of the past words that were death will be thrown away, washed by the blood, that I'm a new person. I'm starting a new garden this morning. Words of life. Father, your words are above all words, and I confess them in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I want you to know Jesus. You see, as the word is being taught, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You now have enough faith in you to be saved, to confess your sins and to have them washed away and be born again, son and daughter of the Most High. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you'd like him in your life, you want to know him, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. And today, if you'd like to receive him, I'd like you to slide your hand up. I want to lead you to Jesus. Is there anyone? Thank you. Thank you, young ladies. Thank you, sir. Put your hands right back down. Is there anyone else that want to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Five. Come on. Thank you, young lady. Four. Come on. Get your hand up. Thank you in the back. Three. Come on. Get your hand up. Two. Thank you. Thank you. Last call. One. Let's all stand to our feet. You see, even to be saved, the Bible says you must confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess with your what? Your mouth, the Lord Jesus. You're going to speak life to your own body as Christ is going to come in and change you. This morning, if you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Grab the person next to you who brought you. If you come alone, let's be brave. Meet it up here. Listen, this is not embarrassing. This is where the Bible says, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before God. Right now. Come on, come right out of your chair. Come out of your chair. You raise your hand. You want Jesus. Come out of your chair. I'm very proud of you. Your life will never be the same again. Come on, you raise your hand. Let's go. Thank you very much. I'm very proud of you, young lady. Thank you, young man. Raj, you're a soul-winning machine. Hallelujah. I know there's more that raise their hands. Come on, be bold. This is your moment. Don't you let it pass. Don't you let it pass. Amen. This is Minister Randall. Minister Randall's going to pray with you. Get your Bibles. Make sure you're all set. He's a nice young man. Dresses good too, doesn't he? Jesus is going to change your life. You'll never be the same again. Amen. If you'll follow him right on over there. Hallelujah. Life change right there. Come on, give my hand clap. The Bible says all of heaven's rejoicing. Don't let heaven outshout you this morning. Don't let heaven outshout you this morning. People have come into the kingdom of God. That's something to rejoice about. Hallelujah. The prayer team's coming around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, prayer of agreement, two touch one thing, it shall be done. God's going to move in your life. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Lead someone to Jesus this week and speak life and not death. Enjoy your day in Christ. Be blessed.
If you're a guest in the house today, we want to invite you over to a meet and greet in this hallway. We have a reception and we would love to meet you. So make sure you come right over.